So if you take just a moment and read through that sheet, and then I'll close in prayer. My Father says you won't remember anything if I don't give it to you in writing. And the last time I was here, I complained about having to follow Elizabeth. So thank you, Bobby, for putting a couple of songs in between so it doesn't make me look so bad. I appreciate that, but I still feel like that song is carrying over and we're all moved by it. So next time I come, if we could just make sure Elizabeth isn't singing anything. As a matter of fact, to help me look better, maybe if you could just have my dad do a solo. And then they will for sure remember the message. So thank you. I also wanted to tell you that I'm a little bit nervous today, so please bear with me for two reasons. One, you guys have gotten rid of the big podium that I was looking forward to this morning because you guys know why it's called COVID-19? The 19 is the average amount of weight that people have been gaining from being at home, and I now weigh more than I've ever weighed in my life. But I've also not really had to wear pants very often. So as I was dressing in the car on the way here this morning, I realized that my pants don't button anymore. So I'm trying to cover it up with this belt. So I was really looking forward to hiding behind the podium. But now you guys get to see it. So try not to think about my pants not being buttoned at all for the rest of the morning. Too late. That's kind of the point of the message today. So that's number one reason I'm nervous. Number two is I'm pretty sure that this is the first time that my sister has had the privilege, the honor of hearing her bigger brother, only brother, preach. And for those of you who don't know, even though I'm the older brother, most of my life I've lived in her shadow. So when I go back to high school games, I know the coaches and the teachers still, and the first thing they'll say to me is, "How's your sister?" So embarrassing. Matter of fact, a few years ago, I had the privilege of taking my kids out back to Emmaus to show them our old stomping grounds. I tried to go into the gymnasium where my picture's on the wall, and there's a couple of trophies that some of the teams I participated on are there and was trying to show off. But the door was locked, which is kind of new for Emmaus. They never locked it while we were there. So I knocked on the door, and the current basketball coach comes to the door and would not let me in. I was kind of dumbfounded. I guess times have changed since I was there. We'd have like kids from the neighborhood coming in while we were there. So I was trying to get in. Can I just come in and show some people my picture? My name's on the wall. He's like, oh, he just really didn't want me to come in at all. And I was getting a little bit upset. And I was trying to decide, all right, who can I call that's got some clout that would call him to be like, look, this is Lauren. He can get in. And I don't know how it came up, but then he was like, well, what's your name? And I was like, Lauren Goggin. And he smiled from ear to ear. And there was a split second where I thought, oh, maybe he remembers or heard my name. No. He said, is your sister Shonda Goggin? And I was like, yes. My kids are smiling. My wife's smiling. And he's like, come on in. Oh, it was embarrassing. So today I'm trying to set a bar high for my sister. But I also want to start by saying thank you for your prayers for our friend from Wilmington, Brother William Hill, famously known as Hillbilly or Bill. I tried to get an update this morning, but they're not checking their phones, so I haven't heard this morning. But he's doing very well. And if you ever want to, I'm trying to convince Linda, his wife, to write a book, or at least like a little pamphlet of like detailing all the things that have happened, because it's been miracle after miracle after miracle. So for example, one of them was the fact that he likes to work out in this 24-hour fitness center where you can work out at any time, and he likes to go late at night because there's never anybody there, because he likes to jog in wool socks and sweatpants, even though it's summer. So he likes to try to stay away from people. But this time there happened to be two brothers who were there working out, and they're both certified CPR, and certified with AED, the defibrillator. So they were on him almost as he was hitting the ground when he fell over. So it was pretty miraculous the way the Lord has just been working through this whole process. And it's kind of cool for me to see the body of Wilmington recognizing that the Lord has his hand on this and watch how they, the body has really stepped up to help support the family. I had the privilege of sitting with him for a couple of hours, a few hours on Saturday. Pretty excited about that because he's still a little loopy. And if you've ever been with people who are still coming off pain meds, it's quite entertaining. Matter of fact, I was specifically told not to give him any food whatsoever. He's allowed 2 ice chips every 30 minutes. But as soon as I got in, the nurse came in and handed him a menu. Why? Because he had just passed his swallow test, but the family didn't know yet. So the last thing I was told is don't give him any food. And the next thing I'm hearing from the patient is, I want catfish. So I'm not sure if after a massive heart attack, 2 weeks with no food, if that's the first thing I would choose to eat. But it was actually on the hospital menu. What hospital serves catfish? I guess only in the South. But so for the next 3 hours, I had to convince him that the catfish was on the way because he would not take no for an answer. He was even trying to convince the staff to puree it. So just think about that for a moment, because he's on a liquid diet, which is why he can't have catfish, but he still wanted it so bad he was asking it to be pureed. I'm not sure what you would pour in it to make it more liquidy, but I didn't want to be a part of that. So anyway, thanks for your prayers for our brother Bill. We love him and his family. We can't wait to see him back up on his feet. But you can go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. And while you're doing that, I did have a handout because we are going to cover a ton of verses today. I never want to apologize for spending too much time in the Word. But just to save us some time and you some writing, for those of you that like to take notes, I just went ahead and typed out all the verses with some of the key points next to them. It's not necessarily in any sort of outline form, if you will. But we're going to follow these through in our message today. So feel free to read through. I think they're in the New King James, but sometimes I switch between translations, so don't be mad if it switches. But you may remember that I am on a new life journey of choosing one word every year to kind of focus on, to spend some time in thought on. And as I read through the word in a year, really looking for what God has for me around that word. Matter of fact, does anybody remember what my word for last year was? Because I spoke here on it. Yes, it was over a year ago, so don't worry about it if you don't remember. I'll give you a hint. We used ping pong balls. That's pretty close. My word for 2020 was meditation. Why? Because my priorities in my mind were towards things that it shouldn't have been. Focusing on COVID, worrying about my job and life and health. And so those were the negative things that we wrote on the ping pong balls and we put them in the pitcher. And then we talked about how meditating on the Lord, which we heard a little bit about from Mike just a few moments ago, fills our mind and can push out and remove some of those negative priorities or thoughts. So that was 2020. So in 2021, it is fellowship. So as I went through 2020, I was reinvigorated by this idea of let's focus on the things of the Lord. Let's stop worrying about the things of the world. And I truly felt that this was working in my life, and I could feel myself growing closer to the Lord from it. But there was still something missing that I felt like had been there before, and I just really couldn't put my finger on it. But then a few months ago, I thought I saw what might be happening because near the end of 2020, our body started meeting more often together. Much like you, we did Zoom. We did Zoom for several months, a little bit longer than most, I would imagine. And then slowly but surely, we started regathering, and now we're about back to 100% in the building. But we also got rid of small groups or inviting people over for dinner. It was just people were trying to be cautious. And I didn't realize and wasn't noticing how much I was really missing just being with my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But once we started meeting more and more often, once we had more and more people in the building, I could really feel some excitement, some encouragement from being around one another. So in 2021, I decided to pick the word fellowship and really kind of dive into it and see what the Word of God had for us in the word, around the word fellowship. So what does it mean? What's the word fellowship mean? The first time it's mentioned is in Acts 2:42. So let's read that. We should all be pretty familiar with this since it's often quoted as the assembly's theme verse, if you will. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly, or they were devoted in or to the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread in prayers. So I've heard tons of messages on three of these. We hear lots of messages about prayer. We have an entire meeting on Wednesday nights that we call the prayer meeting. We have a breaking of bread that we would often call maybe our chief meeting. Matter of fact, there's a whole book about that put out by Emmaus. We are also quite aware of what doctrines would look like from the apostle standpoint. We hold to those dearly. It's one of the reasons why we call ourselves Bible chapels, because we really love to hold dear to those. But this word fellowship, I don't think I've really ever taken the time to kind of dive into it and see, all right, what were these guys really doing here with fellowship? So the word here, if you look it up in the Greek, I'm going to mispronounce it, so don't hold it to me, koinonia. It has a root word of koinos of some sort. And it really gets this meaning from having a common or mutual or a public gathering. So koinonia has a thought process or a deep root in that community, association with one another, participation, intimacy is another example. Intercourse is another word that is used. Jointly contributing, a collection of contributors. And one person wrote, exhibiting an embodiment and proof of fellowship. So proof of fellowship. What's interesting about this word, and as I read through several commentaries and dictionaries trying to find out, all right, what's this word really mean? What I found out was we in the English language don't really have a good word that really encompasses everything that koinonia means and represents. It is such a big word that has a broad definition that as we read through some of these verses today and as you read through your Bible, it could be the word fellowship or koinonia. But it might be translated in English to something a little bit different. So we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. So I created my own working definition for the year so that as I looked through at the word fellowship, it would help me understand it a little bit better. So here's the definition that I created for myself. And it is the active participation in a community that is brought together through Jesus Christ. The active participation in a community that is brought together through Jesus Christ. So I found seven different specific examples. There might be more. Again, this is a journey for me, so don't hold me to that there are only seven, but I found seven. And they are on the front side of our sheet that we'll hop into right now. One of the first things we found in relation to fellowship is found in Philippians 1, 3 through 5. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So one of the things that we have fellowship in or through or with is the gospel. Right, so as we think about the gospel, we think about that good news story that we partner with each other as we go forth and we share that gospel, much like Paul is doing here with the Philippians. Then in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, which we just read, we know this to be the beginning of the church in Acts chapter 2. And so one of the things they were devoted to was fellowship. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 2, we have the Spirit. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, we hear that word again, and of one mind. So in Philippians 2, we know that there's also fellowship of the Spirit. This fellowship of the Spirit enables us and helps us to have fellowship with both the Son and the Father, which we see in 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. And we have fellowship with the Father, which we read in 1 John 1:3 through 7. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that we also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things are written that you may, that your joy may be full. That this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, but we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we see several different types of fellowship there in 1 John 1:3 through 7, but in particular wanted to call out the one with the Father. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul talks about having fellowship or a communion or that like-minded or that association with sufferings. He says that I may know Him and the power of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. And then Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, we hear or we read about the mystery, the fellowship of mystery. To me, who am I less than the least of all these saints? This grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and make all what is the fellowship of mercy, or make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. I'd love to go a little bit deeper into the fellowship of mystery, but it's a mystery. So far in my study, I've found several different ways or types of fellowship. Again, we've got it with the church, we've got it with each other, we've got it with the gospel, the Spirit, the Father, the Son, sufferings, and mystery. But this morning, I want to spend the rest of our time really diving into what that looks like for us as a body of believers, which is the church, which is that verse of Acts chapter 2, verse 42. So it's kind of interesting to me because I can understand what it looks like to be devoted to the Lord's Supper. I feel like we do that fairly well in the assemblies. Very few, if many, do it on a weekly basis. Most of the other churches that I've ever been a part of, it's at most a quarterly basis. So I feel like we have done a good job, at least in our minds, of trying to follow that example of being devoted to it. We have a meeting once a week, which we do as well on Wednesday nights, a whole meeting devoted to that idea of having prayer. I think we also pride ourselves, and rightfully so, in doing our best to make sure we know the Word so that we can hold to the Apostles' doctrine. But what are some things that we do that demonstrates we are devoted to fellowship? Right, and so I'm not necessarily just talking about the 30 or so minutes that we've just had a few moments ago where we had some delicious blueberry yum-yum. Let's just call it that. I don't even like blueberries and tried it, and it was good. Don't tell my wife. Can we take that off the tape? But we know that in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord tells us that it is not good for man to be alone. We are created to have this communion, to have relationship, to desire relationship. So we know we're built for fellowship. So what are we doing as a body, even from a biblical standpoint, that really demonstrates that we are devoted to fellowship? We see that again back in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also have fellowship with us. Again, we're having fellowship with the writer. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and the Son And these things that I write to you, that your joy may be full. So one of the ways we're going to have full joy is, as we continue to read, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So one of the ways that we can really dive deep and devote ourselves to fellowship is leaning on our fellowship with the Lord. Staying in the light and staying away from darkness. So what does that specifically look like? All right, we got this idea. If the closer I am with the Lord through meditation, reading, the easier it might be for me to be in fellowship. But what does that really look like as it plays out? One of the reasons why this has really been on my heart lately is, man, we've had some really amazing opportunities to have some really good fellowship with the Hill family. Their family is, I don't know if turmoil is the right word, but their whole life just got flipped, turned upside down. So the stalwart of the family, the one helping take care of the family, is now in the hospital, and they need to be taken care of. So our chapel has had plenty of opportunity to show what fellowship and being devoted to fellowship looks like. So let's see if we've done some of those things for us. And as we read through these, what kind of things are you in Myrtle Beach doing, or you individually doing as well, to show that you're devoted to fellowship? So on your sheet, you can go ahead and turn over. One of the things I found as we talked about the idea that the word fellowship or koinonia has such a broad definition or broad examples, one of the things that I found is it is almost always present or a part of every time that I have been reading, or most of the time when you read, to do something to one another, which we just saw in 1 John 1. So let's look at some others, one another's. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10, we see affectionate and maybe giving preference to. So be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. So one way we can demonstrate that we are devoted as a body or as individual parts of the body of Christ is giving preference or honor in giving preference to one another and being kindly affectionate. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, and be courteous. What I find interesting is the timing of Brother Bill's heart attack. About 2 months ago, we had a men's meeting where the men from the body had asked to meet with our elders. A few of the men had felt like some things needed to change or move. We weren't coming back fast enough from COVID. We didn't like some of the way COVID would handle. I'm using the word we in a general statement, not necessarily me in particular, but some of these. So there's a list of things that we really just wanted to sit down and have a discussion about and ask some questions and hear their feedback. And in my personal opinion, the meeting didn't go quite as well as everybody had hoped. It wasn't a fight or any arguing, but it just didn't go quite as well as I had hoped. And one of the reasons why I think this happened, in my personal opinion, is we really haven't been meeting closely up until after that meeting had happened. And I believe that because we weren't as close in fellowship or seeing each other on a regular or weekly or a biweekly basis, it really drove a little bit of a wedge or even a distance in between some of those friendships and some of those relationships. So now some of these same men who had some issues and maybe even some friction that were happening there between the leadership and the men, guess what's happened to that in the last 2 weeks? Gone. And some of these same men who might even got a little bit heated at this conversation are now some of the same men who are really stepping up and taking on more of the workload to help the Hill family. To me, that's what being devoted to fellowship looks like, is that second part of that conversation and not the first. Right? Being of one mind, having compassion for one another. It's really hard to be of one mind if I'm not with you enough to know what your mind is. we've got to spend some time together, and I've got to be compassionate enough. I need to give preference to you to sit down and listen to your side of the story and take that and then consider it. Romans 15:7, therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. So being kind and compassionate. I think we've got enough time this morning to take a quick commercial break. So I'm going to ask my beautiful bride and any of the girls that would like to join to come up, and they're going to teach us a new song on Ephesians 4:32. The lyrics are really easy because now they're in print right in front of you. I think the song comes from the King James Version, and this is the New King James. So you can just sing the song, you know, but you have to be on the microphone.
Now I'm a little nervous that I don't know it. But it does start like this. This isn't in the Bible.
Julia, how's it start?
Now.
Thank you.
Who knows this? All right, sing with me if you know. Ephesians, is that not till the end or the beginning?
That's
Ephesians 4:32. Be kind one to another.
All right.
Good job, man.
I thought we were doing first John for 7 and 8. Sorry.
Nope. All right. This is the story of my life. My sister comes to save the day. Amen. I'm going to be hearing about this for the rest of my... Remember that message you gave and your sister did a better job than you did? So Ephesians 4:32, to make sure we didn't miss that. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgave you. Right, one of the great ways that we can show fellowship or union with one another or be like-minded is to be forgiving of one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Matter of fact, we actually heard a good example of that from Mike earlier. I was starting to get really depressed because as Mike was sharing from Galatians 3:4, I was taking home 3 bullet points. He said that I was a loser, that I was a jerk, and that I was worthless. Now, when we compare that to the grace of God, that is completely true. But as we read through 1 Thessalonians 5:11, we have plenty of opportunity to comfort and edify and try to lift each other up. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So what do? We consider each other. We work together. Part of my job as a body of, as a part of the body of Christ, is to work with you and to stir you up to love and good works. 1 Peter 4:9. Be hospitable to one another. I wished it just stopped right there, but it doesn't, because it goes on to say, without grumbling. First John 4:7, which we've read already, or haven't read the song I think my wife thought she was going to sing. Do you want to sing this one, honey? You can redeem yourself.
Yeah, I'll just do it from here, though.
Okay, go ahead.
John 4:7 and 8.
Got mixed up. Thank you. Right, so we hear there that one of the things that we are called to do when we look at fellowship towards one another is love. I also find it interesting as we wrapped up our list of the few things that kind of stood out to me immediately as I was looking for that word one another and ways that I could show what true fellowship looks like and ways I could be devoted to fellowship. I was reminded last night by my bride of that's exactly the way the body is supposed to work. If we are abiding in Christ because He loved us, I now can love you. And if I'm stirring you up to good works and I'm being hospitable and I'm serving you and I'm receiving and I'm forgiving, man, the community is going to have such a strong relationship that it's going to exude out into the world, and they're going to see our relationship and our love and our compassion and our caring and our servant heart. And in John 13, it says, "A new commandment that I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So how true fellowship works is we are loving each other so much, and we're devoted to each other's success in the world and in life and in our relationships with Jesus, that the world sees that and wants to be a part of that. And that's what draws them in. Matter of fact, just for the sake of time, we won't go into it in deep detail, but I think this is what the example is in John 15 when the Lord is telling the disciples the story of Him being the vine. And He talks about, if you abide in Me. So to me, this is where we are getting our strength to show fellowship to one another. So let's just go there. John chapter 15. We're done at 12:15-ish.
Paul would say, "You can keep preaching, but we're leaving."
Okay. All right, so you're welcome to go. I'm going to keep going for a few more minutes. Don't go. Thank you, Shonda, for not getting up and leaving. Right, so verse 1, "I am the true vine, and the Father is my vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." So we cannot show each other true fellowship. It is impossible for us to love one another unless we're abiding and receiving in that love from the Father. He continues as he talks about what that looks like from abiding in Him and that love from Him. Back down in verse 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, if someone were to lay down his life for his friends." Verse 17. "These things I command you, that you will love one another." So it's kind of cool for me to think that the Lord has asked us to show fellowship to one another, but He's also empowered us and given us the strength to do that, which is His own fellowship facilitated by the Holy Spirit through the Father and Son with us. And we can lean on that and we can draw from that to have fellowship with one another. And one of the most important reasons why this is so important for us now and even more so today is in verse 18. "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world hates you." So as we go forth in 2021, my key word is the word fellowship. So if you read anything that sounds really good on fellowship, feel free to send it to me. But as I think about it, I look at this process in John chapter 15 where we abide in the Lord, we receive that love, we can abide in that love, and that gives me the strength to show love and compassion and servitude to the body. That should be so attractive to the world that the world wants to be a part of it, and it should be so offensive to the world that they're going to start calling it hate for what you believe and want to share with them. And it's clear as day right here in the Word 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, the world's going to hate you if you're acting this way. So be prepared. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for an opportunity to dive in your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit will take these words and remove anything that I've said that detracts from you and your Son. Help us to take what we heard today, take these words from you. Help us to learn how to love each other and serve each other and be compassionate and courteous and forgiving to one another so that the world sees the love that we have for each other and wants to be a part of that. It's in your Son's name we give thanks. Amen.